Hi, it's Pastor Jason with Grace and Truth again. I'd like to welcome you back to our sermon series, Indecision 2016, Keeping Your Sanity and Your Righteousness During Election Season. Now, it's our intention during this series to allow the Bible to speak to us and guide our hearts and in turn our actions as we work through a particularly contentious election season. This week's message is from Sunday, October 23rd, and is entitled Imago Dei. So we're on week two, right, of Indecision 2016, keeping your sanity and your righteousness during election season. It's not been a lot of fun, has it? Like, I mean, the sermon's been good, right? But the election season itself has been difficult. I'm ready for it to be over, personally. So we were trying to find ways to, like we say, to keep our sanity and our righteousness during this. I think the Bible has a lot to say about what's in our hearts and what comes out of our hearts and into our actions, particularly as we deal with this time of year. So last week we had a message called Render to Caesar, right? And we said that when we understand a couple of things, and one is that we have dual citizenship, that we live as both citizens of the United States as citizens of the kingdom of God at the same time. And when we learn to live in balance with that, that we hold allegiances to both the United States and the kingdom of God. And when we understand how to balance those two things, things go better, right? And then, but sometimes we have what we call dueling citizenships. That sometimes our citizenship in the United States and our citizenship in the kingdom of God come into conflict with each other. And when that happens, our citizenship in the kingdom of God outranks our citizenship in the United States every single time. So when we learn those and we understand those three things, we find that we can be involved in politics without putting our hope in politics. That we can maintain our civic duty to be informed and to vote. But we understand that the day after Election Day, God is still going to be in control. And God is still going to be in charge. But we don't put our hope. We do our duty as citizens to participate in the process. But our hope is in God. It's not in the United States. So I kind of hope maybe during the week, as you were thinking on some of those things, that maybe some of your sanity came back. And maybe, you know, maybe your righteousness was a little more in place because you understood the situation that we're in. So today I want to talk about this phrase or concept. It's called Imago Dei. It's a Latin word, and it means the image of God. And so if you'll turn with me to Genesis, we'll be in Genesis again. Right? We'll go to chapter 1 this time and read two verses. This is where this concept comes from here. So in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verse 26, right? Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness. And then in verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. So this idea and this concept of the Imago Dei, it goes like this. So since human beings are made in God's image, they are all worthy of honor and respect. And they are neither to be murdered nor cursed. So we can take this concept and we can run it real deep and chip permeate really everything. But today we want to look at these ideas that all people, all human beings, are created in the image of God. And so they're worthy of honor and respect. And they're neither to be murdered nor cursed. So as we always do, let's break these down. Let's look at worthy. People are worthy of honor and respect. All people are worthy of honor and respect. So this is Romans 13:7. I think we read this last week. We'll put it up on the screen here. It says, "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honor, then honor." In our culture, honor and respect are usually earned. Now, sometimes we grudgingly give that to people because they have a title, right? You have to honor and respect your boss, whether you like your boss or not, or whether your boss acts honorably or respectably, right? Sometimes you do that. That's usually how it happens. Somebody acts in an honorable way or respectable way, and you find your respect for them goes up, right? It's a balance thing, right? And so we usually have to earn honor and respect. But what Imago Dei tells us is that all people, by the nature of the fact that they're made in the image of God, deserve honor and respect. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter what they believe, that they are created in the image of God and they deserve honor and respect. Now I want to say this. This applies to the person themselves, not necessarily a person's actions or their beliefs. Because it's possible to disagree with someone's ideas or with their actions or what they do and still respect them as a person. So Greg and I had a band, right, when we were at Mount Zion, and the guitar player in the band came up to me one day and said, you know, I really don't like the Beatles. I wasn't a fan of that statement, to say the least. And I believe he told me he liked Paul McCartney and Wings more than he liked the Beatles. Now, who does that? Nobody does. That's ridiculous, right? So, you know, I got a choice whether I lose respect for him because he says Wings are better than the Beatles, right? I can get mad at him. I could be angry with him. Was that? Yeah. So I understood that I could disagree with him, and I did, and I still do. And if I ever see him again, I'll disagree with him to his face. But I respect him as a person, right? I don't let it make me lose like respect for him as a person or his dignity, right? He has an idea that I disagree with. And so it's possible to disagree with somebody and still respect them as a person. And so we need to understand that everyone is created in the image of God, right? And is therefore worthy of honor and respect. And so the second part of this was that people are worthy of honor and respect, but they're also neither to be murdered nor cursed. Now, most of you are probably thinking, I'm not murdering anybody anytime soon. You know, it's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Don't commit murder. And you have to think, like, was that a huge problem back then? Like, that they had to put it in writing? Like, were people on, like, I get lying, right? You got to tell people not to lie and not to steal. Like, that there are opportunities for that kind of stuff all the time. But murder is not really one of those things that just rolls around in your life. I don't think I'm going to murder somebody today. Or I'm going to work real hard not to murder somebody today. I mean, that's how it goes, right? So you might be thinking, I don't murder people. This is great. I'm like off the hook for part of the sermon. This is cool. I don't murder anybody. But Jesus said this runs deeper, right? The commandments run deeper. If the commandment was there not to murder, I don't think that people were just so, like, had such a bloodlust that, like, God had to tell them not to murder people. There had to be another meaning behind the commandment. There had to be something deeper that, and I think it's this image of God idea we have. Let's put a verse up here from 1 John, right? So it says, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Well, I'm in trouble. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. Well, I've had hate in my heart before. I'm not going to deny that. Well, that makes me a murderer. That's not good. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Turn with me if you would to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talked about this too. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus was taking a lot of the commandments and commands and rules of the Old Testament, which were meant to modify behavior, right? You're told not to murder people. But Jesus understood that murder was not an action problem. It was a heart problem long before it's an action problem. And lying is a heart problem long before it's an action problem. And same thing with these other things that he talked about here, adultery and other stuff, right? And so we're in chapter 5, we're going to read verses 21 and 22. Jesus says, you have heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother and sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Do you know your words have meaning? Deep meaning? Now, some of what Jesus was saying is that if you stay angry with somebody long enough, then murder physically becomes a possibility. And so there's certainly a matter of take stock of what's in your heart, control what's in your heart before it spills out into your actions. But again, I think it's deeper. So this word raka is a term of contempt. It's like calling somebody an idiot, calling somebody a jerk, right? It's the same, it's an Aramaic term. Jesus says, if you call somebody a fool, right, you fool. I throw these words around a lot, so this is embarrassing to talk about. These are words and terms that demean another person. When we call somebody an idiot, when we call somebody a jerk or a fool, more often than not, we mean that they're not as smart as us or as good as us, that their ideas are worthless, that somehow or another we're better than them. We're demeaning the image of God in that person when we call that person an idiot or a jerk. I don't know if you go around saying raka at all. It's not really, that one doesn't come out of my mouth that often, but the other ones do on a regular basis. I'm setting myself up as better than somebody else. I'm not remembering that other person was made in the image of God in the same way that I'm made in the image of God. And so that person deserves honor and respect, and for me not to demean them with my words. And so maybe physically murdering somebody is not an issue for you. But how about our words? Those words count for something. And we're also not to curse people. Right? So go to James chapter 3. James talks about the tongue in our words here. So we're in James 3. We're going to read verses 2 down to 12 here. This is James, the brother of Jesus. He says, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Can I see a show of hands? Who has that going on here? Has anybody got all that? Other than Greg, nobody's got that. Hold on. Okay. Verse 3, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." So this little thing, the tongue, right? And this is a stand-in for our words, right? For the things that we say that come out of our mouth. Have this incredible power. In Proverbs, there's tons of Proverbs that tell us how much power the tongue has. It has the power of life, and it has the power of death. You know, I can remember mean things somebody said to me, like in elementary school. I can't remember most of what happened in elementary school. But I can remember a couple of specific incidents where somebody was awful to me. I can remember times where somebody was life-giving to me or life-affirming to me in their words, but not as much as the ones where somebody cut into me. I think this ties into what Jesus was saying. We murder people with our words. We hurt people with our words. Yes, we can build them up. We can bring life to them, and we should be doing that. But we can cut people down and wound people. We can curse people with our words. And so this comes from losing sight of the fact that people are worthy of our respect because they're all made in the image of God, right? So when we deem someone unworthy of our respect for whatever reason, whether we've just lost sight of the fact that they were created in the image of God, or whether we just we so passionately disagree with them that we lose sight of who they really are, we feel free to murder them with our words. That's why it's so important for us to remember that every single person is created in the image of God. And as a person deserves honor and respect. Then we find ourselves wanting to build them up, right? Wanting our words to give life and not to wound, not to cut them down. And so we want to ask this question, what does this have to do with election season, right? We're talking about elections in election season. And I think it's so easy to lose sight of the Imago Dei in people on the opposite side of the political fence from us. Whatever side of the fence you're on. It's very easy to lose sight of the image of God in the other people. Now, sometimes this is politicians themselves. Sometimes it's just simply people who support them, right? People who vote on the other side as us, or who feel differently than us, or think differently than us. I don't know, we talked last week about politics are important. We're citizens of the United States. We should have an interest and be informed in the things that are going on in our country. We should have an opinion on voting and on people who are running. We should have ideas there. But it's so easy to overestimate their importance. And this is living out of balance, right? We talked last week about trying to live in balance, understanding that the kingdom of God outranks the kingdom of man, any kingdom of man. And sometimes we lose sight of that. These things are important, and so we get excited about them, and we get fired up about them, and we should have an interest. But when they get out of balance, then we begin to demonize people who don't believe the same way we do. And we deem them unworthy of our respect. And we find ourselves slipping into murdering and cursing them with our words. And I don't think most people do this on purpose. I don't. I just think it happens. It's easy to slip into this and slip into it as a habit. Now, like, social media has fanned the flames of this. I realize that, like, people saying bad things about politicians and people of the other political party has been happening for as long as we've had politicians and political parties. But, like, Facebook in particular has given everyone a platform to say whatever it is they want. And it's a false sense of anonymity because you're never really going to see that person, right? I mean, there's so many people that I'm in contact with online that I'll never actually see face to face. And so it's a lot easier to say that somebody's an idiot or a fool if I'm never going to have to defend that in front of them, right? There are things you would never say to somebody's face that you can type. And so we've got a culture where that's just been the case for a while now. And people just say whatever they want to say all the time, and they get super fired up about things, right? And so we slip into this murdering and cursing people with our words. It eventually, if left unchecked in people, it gets to actual acts of violence. Have you seen there's been a couple of headquarters this week that were broken into and vandalized and destroyed, right? And people are having, I saw some of the political signs going down Main Street that were defaced. And we know some have been stolen, right? I mean, there are things that are going on, right? So people get so far down with this, it gets so deep into their heart that they act out on it. It's not just words that you type or words that you say or things that you think. You actually wind up committing acts of violence or vandalism or doing other things. So Jesus had it right. We do watch what's in our heart. Because what's in our heart will eventually spill out into our actions. And if we allow fear and hate and anger and things to well up in our heart, then they're going to spill over into actions that we're going to regret and we're going to be sorry about. And so we need to remember in everything we do, right, that everyone is made in the image of God, including people on the opposite side of the political fence. And how we speak or type about these people makes a difference. They are real people and deserve to be treated as such. Sometimes it's difficult to remember that, right? They're on TV all the time, right? Or in ads or just in your newsfeed, and we forget that these are actual people. And despite how much you might disagree with this politician, I doubt that you would say to their face some of the things that you would say about them online. Because you understand when you're face to face with somebody that they're a person. And that you don't talk to people like that. That's not how we do this. But also, people are watching. People who aren't Christians watch how Christians act. The most aggravating thing about this entire election season for me has been the way Christians have acted. I don't expect non-Christians to act any way other than non-Christians. But I expect Christians to act in love and in peace and in unity. And I've seen a lot of everything but those things. And the outside world is looking at that and saying, you're telling me this God is loving, and yet you talk about such and such a candidate like this? Or you talk about their supporters like this? That doesn't make sense. So people are watching. Our words matter. But our hearts are at risk too. Because the more you traffic in that fear and anger and in that hate, the more your heart hardens. And the less God can use you, and the less you can hear from God, and the less God can move and work in your life. And if we listen to Jesus, we're committing murder. And I'm not interested in committing murder. And so what we say and how we speak and how we type about people makes a huge difference. And so we have to understand that we can disagree with someone's political ideas without demeaning them as a person. Now, it's our duty to be informed. We've been saying that, right? So in your bulletin is a sheet there. You can go to that website. You can put in your actual street address, and they'll give you a voter's guide for your district. Whoever is running on your ballot, they'll tell you how they voted on other things and whatnot. We've got another guide on the back table there for the two main presidential candidates, how they would vote on different issues, how they feel about different issues. Flip it over. All the comments are fact-checked. You can go look on the websites. I want you to be informed. I want you to know who's planning on voting which way and who has a tendency to believe this or has said they're going to do this or that. So you can be informed, and when necessary, you can disagree with somebody's ideas. It is perfectly okay to say, I'm not going to vote for so-and-so because of this idea, or because they've done this, or because they voted this way. But it's not okay with calling that person names or saying things about them as a person. So the issue is not, can we disagree with people? We absolutely can disagree with people. It's our duty, I think, as citizens of the United States to be informed and to know what it is we're agreeing or disagreeing about. But how we disagree makes a difference. And I think it comes down to remembering the image of God in all the people, whether they're the ones running for office or they're the ones supporting candidates. And so let's put this definition back up here, right? The Imago Dei, right? Since human beings are made in God's image, they are all worthy of honor and respect. And they are neither to be murdered nor cursed. Now let me veer off the political topic just for a second here. Because I need you to know that you were created in the image of God. And that you are worthy of honor and respect. And that you are not to be murdered or cursed by somebody's words as well. Now, if I speak to the ladies for a minute. If you're with somebody who doesn't treat you with honor and respect, maybe you don't need to be with that person. Now, if you're married to that person, let's get everybody together and talk about that. That can be worked on. But you were created in the image of God and deserve to be treated as somebody who was created in the image of God. And men, treat your women as people who were made in the image of God. They need to know that you know that they were created in the image of God, that you honor and respect them, and you don't murder or curse them with your words. If you have kids, they need to know that. They need to see that. This is how we treat people. This is how we treat women. So never lose sight of the fact that you were created in the image of God. We live in a society that is trying to tell people every other thing in the world. This concept could revolutionize the way people live. Everybody would understand that everyone else was created in the image of God just like they were. And that you deserve honor and respect, and you deserve not to be murdered and cursed. And therefore you treat other people with honor and respect. And you treat other people in a way that doesn't murder or curse them. Big deal this is. The Imago Dei, the image of God in every person. Let's put this one verse up here from Genesis before we finish out here. As we read this before, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, I think this verse should permeate your voting. We said all human beings are created in the image of God, including those who haven't been born yet. There are a lot of complex issues at stake in this election and in the coming years. This isn't one of them. Abortion is murder. There is no other way to put it. There is no other statement to make. When you go to vote, there's a lot at stake in that particular issue. Be informed. Know who believes what, who votes which way, and know that there isn't a gray area here. That those who haven't been born yet are human beings who are made in the image of God and deserve honor and respect and deserve not to be murdered. Now there's other issues, right? All human beings are made in the image of God, right? Including those of a different skin tone than ours. This is a thorny, complex issue, but racial injustice is a real thing. And again, be informed as to what candidates, how they kind of side on this and what their ideas are for helping bring unity. We understand that there needs to be unity brought to this country. So these are important. These are difficult issues. The first one's not, right? Abortion is murder. That's the way that is. But these other things are important and difficult, right? So including those of a different nationality than us. There are immigration and refugee matters at hand that, again, don't have a simple answer. But they are important issues. The Bible speaks to them, but our government speaks to them, right? So there, again, we live in two kingdoms, and there are two things to weigh out here. We need to be informed on these things. But understanding that all people are made in the image of God and deserve to be treated with honor and respect should guide the way we vote in the coming weeks. So I would say seek God's will on these issues. Take advantage of some of the things that we've provided you to help you be informed as to who you're going to vote for and how you're going to vote and what elections are going to, how they're going to make a difference. We have some people here in the congregation that love to talk about that stuff. We have real knowledge about who's, you know, voting which way and maybe some ideas for how to work out some of these issues. So be informed, vote that way, vote godly. But can we please be careful how we speak? Can we be an example to the rest of the world in how we disagree with people over the next 3 weeks and in the coming months if things don't go your way? We would do more good for the kingdom of God by being a good witness here. And we do a tremendous amount of harm to the kingdom of God when we're bad at this. Please remember that all people were created in the image of God.
Hi, it's Pastor Jason again. I want to take these few closing moments to clarify an issue that we talked about at the end of the sermon there. I believe that the Bible is very clear that there is no moral gray area with abortion. I believe that unborn babies are human and have the same right to life that you and I have. But I also believe in mercy and in forgiveness. And so I failed to say during the sermon that God forgives, and that if you've had an abortion, if you've been in a situation where you've considered abortion, I want you to know that if you ask for God's forgiveness, He will forgive you. And I would encourage you to contact a church local to you. Feel free to contact me. You can get a hold of me at pastorj@graceandtruthcommunitychurch.com by email. I just want to also say that if you're in a situation where you're considering abortion, where that seems like that's the best or maybe your only option, I would give you the same idea to contact a pastor, contact a local church, a local pregnancy center that can talk you through some of the other options. And again, feel free to contact me or the church here at Grace and Truth. And if there's anything we can ever do for you, we'd be happy to do it. So you can find us at graceandtruthcommunitychurch.com, and that'll be the best way to see all the stuff we have going on. So thanks for listening this week. Go in the grace of the Lord Jesus, in the love of God the Father, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Please be a blessing to every person you meet this week. Have a great week. Amen.